When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, baby, we're starting the podcast right now. We're back. You know what, dude, live. Welcome, everybody, to the show. YKWD. I started a social media podcast. The fact. The YKWD podcast.
YKWD's back again.
Old school, back in the day, where it all started, before them all.
YKWD.
This podcast is so fun and crazy.
It has no rules.
Shut up, you're ruining this.
Where's the bandana, man?
Sorry, it's a comedy podcast. This isn't NPR.
That's what this podcast does.
Is there any better show? This is the original.
Original.
What's happening, everybody? We're back in the studio above the Comedy Cellar. The Comedy Cellar Podcast Network, which we're about to launch, is going down. I am excited today. I hope you guys had a great weekend. I did. I had a great weekend. A fantastic weekend with the family until Max he slashed me with his lacrosse stick on my thumb. And I almost screamed like a baby. I wanted to cry, but I had to man up and be a dad and then beat the shit out of him. But he's okay. He'll recover. They wound up being the one that fell out was a baby tooth. So he was going to lose that anyways. So anyways, I'm excited today because of my guest. He's been on before. He came on before with this other dude that was his roommate, Jordan Jensen. I'm kidding. She's one of my favorite comedians. She's awesome.
So fun.
Don't talk.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding. It's funny because comics can't just sit there. I always have to talk the same way, and I just yammer on. Let's just get to it. You know what, dude, podcast here with, introduce the guest, Max. I know you love doing it.
Yeah, we got comedian Michael Rowland on the show Animal Control.
I mean, he's the worst at it. I mean, he has no oomph. I mean, he literally goes, I'm like, guys, this is going to be great. I got guest. Introduce the guest, Max.
We got Michael Rowland from Animal Control.
Back at it. What's up, brother?
Hey, brother. How are
you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Are you happy to be here?
Yeah, I'm always just nervous. I just don't want to let you down, Bobby. I want it to be good.
Listen, dude. You know, how can you let me down?
I'm worried I'm going to be like a bad interview. I feel like I've heard you on interviews since I was young. And I just don't want to let you down.
You're not letting me down. You're letting my son Max down because he's. Here's the thing, you know. Look, I've known you at the Cellar,
mm-hmm.
And it always makes me happy when all of a sudden I turn TV on, and who's that? Okay, I turn the TV on, and there you are.
Yep.
Now, my son Max has this uncanny ability to find TV shows. I don't know how he finds them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what he does. Last summer, we're at the tiny house. All of a sudden, he's watching The Good Doctor. I don't get it. Now,
that's about the autistic doctor?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's watching it, and I'm like, what are you watching? I'm like, how did you find this? He goes, I don't know. And he's nine.
Yeah, yeah.
And he loves the show. He gets me into it. Me and him, it's our favorite show.
Oh, man, that's so fucking exciting.
I mean, love it. It's just our show. And then all of a sudden, I found another show, Dad. I'm like, what? And he points at it, it's Animal Control. And I'm like, all right, whatever with this. What's happening? And all of a sudden, there you are. But here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, this can't be him. How is this him?
Yeah, it feels pretty alien to the, I don't know.
It was weird because all of a sudden you're on TV, you're on this pilot, you're on a TV show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not some, you know, horse shit. It's like a real, it reminds me of old time TV.
Yeah.
The way they used to make TV.
It's definitely, yeah, they're a sitcom and they're not trying to hide it. They're like, here it is. We're doing it.
So all of a sudden we're watching this. I'm like, I know. I'm like, Max, I know him. He's like, yeah, you sure you do. I'm like, dude, I know. Right?
Yeah.
And then we're at the Super Bowl party.
Uh-huh.
And you're there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I told you I was a fan of the show.
Well, no, it would have been after the Super Bowl party, because the Super Bowl party, it hadn't premiered yet. They were just showing the commercials for it.
Maybe that was it. I was showing the commercials for it. I don't know. Something happened because I congratulated you, didn't
I? You did. You were super sweet about it.
I was.
It was actually like a really nice moment. That whole Super Bowl party, when it came on, everybody was so fucking cool about it.
Yeah.
And it felt like, oh, man.
That's where it was. It came on and me and Keith were treating.
Oh, your son was there too.
My son was there. Right.
Yes.
Maybe that's where he found it. Because all of a sudden we're watching this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's loving it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's totally, look, I get shit, dude, all the time. I don't take this as an insult.
I won't.
I like stupid TV.
it's silly shit.
I like silly.
Yeah.
Look, I get it, Breaking Bad, The Wire, The Surprise. I get it. I understand it. I like fucking Burn Notice. Anything USA Network puts out, I'm in.
Burn Notice is such a good pull.
Dude, Burn Notice, 18 Wheels of Justice. I love Psych.
Psych was awesome. Psych is an amazing show. They had great comedic chemistry and timing. I fucking love that show.
I'm a psycho.
Were you into Monk at all?
Monk was before Psych.
Monk was like the precursor to Psych.
Mike is the precursor to Columbo, which I love.
Yes,
which is another weird.
And I found Columbo like 2 years ago, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And I just started banging Columbo nonstop.
Columbo's the first autistic asshole on TV.
So good.
He was mentally ill.
He's like a Zen master. He's looking at you, and he knows you did it, and he keeps up the whole, that's crazy that you say
with the one eye.
Yeah, dude.
And he's got his dumb dog, and he's got his shit car.
He's stupid, and his wife you never see until, bro, they went so deep in that show. Like, season 8, Columbo's wife dies, and it opens on her funeral, and Columbo's there. You never see Mrs. Columbo. You only ever hear about Mrs. Columbo.
I love shows like that. I love shows that do stuff like that.
Brother, if you're putting me in a camp with Psych and Columbo, I don't know if I'm in that camp, but
I'm telling you, dude, like Psych, the every episode, people don't know, there was a pineapple in every episode.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did you watch the episode, you're looking for the pineapple. We used to have games in my house. Whoever got the pineapple, whoever saw the pineapple won the episode.
Oh, that's
I love silly, dumb shit like that.
With like, all those shows have good, what's the word?
Heart.
They have heart.
That's
they
not the word. Just
chemistry.
Say it's not the word. Chemistry.
No, but heart is true, too. It's like, you do hear that when you're looking for a word and stuff. It's like this, and you're like, that.
Heart.
But also.
But also, yes. Heart. Yes. But something else. I would. chemistry? Yes, that's it, too. But no, it's something else.
Something else. But they do have heart.
But it's this show, to me, what is that? Is that me? Sorry about that.
That's okay.
We're watching the show, and I love you on it because you're just you.
Yeah,
you're kind of you in life. You're a weird dude.
I'm like nervous.
Yep.
And it's honestly a better version of me. It's a more likable version of me without like the dark, the dark weird undertones. I'm just pretty like simply nice.
Wait. All right, my son's gonna watch this. So what do you mean? Let's be clear. My son's so excited about this.
I just mean the way you can be a comedian, and it's it causes you to analyze every situation. So nothing's ever pure. The character's very pure.
Right.
He can enjoy things in a pure way. But I feel like when you do enough comedy, you're like, this is nice, but also you can notice all these little things that feel fake, or they feel stupid, or they feel. You can just see through things more easily, so it's harder to have a nice, genuine moment.
Well, this guy,
without judging it.
The guy, first of all, I need to know, like, where, like, before you got this, how did you get it, first of all?
So it was like a weird sequence of events. I had auditioned for stuff on Fox before. I had, like, one of the ladies that did casting over there, like, she put together a comedy festival, the Los Angeles Comedy Festival or something.
Okay.
And she put me in the festival. I auditioned for it, and then I got to know her there. And then she was like, I was like, I want to act. And she was like, all right, we'll have you audition. And then nothing ever came of that. But then I got momentum off the, like, the JFL thing and doing the Tonight Show.
What'd you get in JFL?
I got the New Faces thing.
You got New Faces when?
It was this, like, right before the Animal Control. So it was last summer.
Last summer you got New Faces.
Almost a year ago, yeah. I got that, and then I was able to do the Tonight Show off that, and then the fucking auditions came around at Fox, and it was like I sort of already knew those people, and then I fit that description. I fit the description of that part. I felt insanely lucky. It was all these things came together. I had momentum.
Yeah.
And then it was a part where it's basically me playing myself.
Now, is that momentum word? Is that your word, or is that a word you heard from somebody?
Oh, dude, that's
did
like
somebody go, hey, dude, your momentum, because it sounds like you're.
No, it's definitely. I mean,
is that your word?
Your manager's like, momentum's very,
very important.
But it is, though. No, it's like that's from years of weird self-helpy.
Right.
like listening to Tony Robbins.
Listen,
while,
man, I'm not a,
while
I'm a
I
fan
drive
of,
around.
I'm a fan of the momentum. It's also, I use Synergy. Would
Synergy,
be a good one.
That one, I'm not ready to touch Synergy yet.
No.
That would be me saying a word somebody told me. I was like, did you ever watch 30 Rock?
A little bit.
Okay. It wasn't your thing?
Here's the thing. I don't get into shows when I just watched Breaking Bad like 2 years ago.
Because everybody's like, you got to do it. Well, everybody ruins it for you because they build it up too much.
I don't know what it is. I get into shows when I get into them. I don't get into them when everybody's into them.
No, I think that's totally respectable.
I've watched Psych probably every episode, probably 10 times each.
Really?
Every episode, every season.
I get that. I like to do that with shows because it just feels good. It just feels good.
Yeah. I mean, I just
like,
love
this. I love the vibe. Yeah. Shows are vibes too. That's the thing about that I liked about Animal Control when I watched it back. It's like there's a cozy vibe here.
There's something
there's
going on with the show. There's something going on with the show. Here's the thing. It's got heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's got
chemistry.
Chemistry.
Uh-huh.
And it's got something else we haven't figured out yet, but we're gonna figure it out.
It's a nice color palette.
A color palette.
There's warm tones.
There you heard that. That's from somebody. you heard that from some Comic-Con interview. That's from a Marvel interview.
We've heard everything somewhere before we started saying it.
Yeah, of course. We're fucking morons. We're comedians. So you go in and you audition for this at Fox in New York, or you have to go to
No, man. This was now after COVID, everything is just you send in a tape.
So you send in a tape.
And
you know who the
best is? Kim. Remember Kim, waitress, manager, worked here, skinny, redhead? She does tapes. She'll just go for $40 an hour. She'll tape with you. She'll give you notes on what you can do better.
I want her number.
She's
on Zoom?
No, she'll do Zoom if you need it. But no, you can go to her apartment. She's got a whole setup.
Yeah.
She'll record it.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, this is the best take. And you don't have to think about it. You're like, was that good? And she's like, no, that was it.
Okay.
And I trust her.
Yeah.
And
can you fool around with her too? Is there like,
stop this.
I'm sorry.
Bobby.
That was Max. I was joking. I'm joking. It was a joke. I meant, you know, have fun, like goof around, like Yahtzee or something.
She likes to joke, yeah.
You went nuts. You went the other way. I was like, can you have fun with it? Like the scene. Jesus Christ. Anyways, that'd be a great business model. Come over. We'll work on your scene. We'll record it. And I'll give you a full body massage around the world.
I would pay a lot for that.
Oh, my God.
I would...
So you send the tape and get, come over here, back over here.
Sorry.
Yeah, you went.
I trailed off.
You trailed off into some fancy.
Apologies.
You send in the tape. I love hearing these stories. I love hearing how people got it.
Yeah.
Because here you are, you're a comedian. You just got Just for Laughs.
Mm-hmm.
You're not making $1 million. No. You're working.
And everybody tells you you don't get shit after JFL anymore. So you're just like, whatever. And you really...
Well, you know who doesn't get shit is the people that have been doing it for fucking 20 years.
Right.
I don't get shit. I go there to enjoy it because I love JFL. I love the people that work it.
Yeah.
But a new face, it is for new faces.
It is.
It's you're going to get an agent, maybe a manager.
And I got the agent thing out of it too.
Who'd you get?
UTA.
Nice.
But I, you know.
Isn't that a disease? Is that it? Am I crazy?
UTI?
UTI, sorry. Sorry about that, UTA.
But that was the thing is then I got them, but I do think it was, I had a relationship with the casting person over there.
Right, but here it is. You send it in. Let's go back.
Send it in. But I'm like...
You played Yahtzee with the girl. She
I'm
said,
sending
this is
other
the
stuff in, so I'm not thinking about it. I'm like, here's another one.
You're
I've
just
done
auditioning.
Plenty of auditions. It's like...
You're
yeah,
just throwing shit against the wall.
Yeah. throw it out. Who cares? I'll probably never get it.
Right.
That's the attitude.
I mean, it's a lot of auditions to get one.
And you can't hang your emotions in them because then it's too painful. So
right.
It's like, fuck it, it won't work. And then they're like, oh, we're actually going to call you back for you're going to read with somebody. And I'm like, over Zoom. And I'm like, all right. And I remember I did it over Zoom in my house. I did all this stuff. I made sure I was good that day. I exercised. I drank my water. I made sure I knew my lines. And we did it, and I was like, all right, I'll probably never hear from him again.
So you did it with somebody in California?
Yeah, somebody. Well, the casting person, there's a person that reads with you, one of the casting directors, and you read with them while one of the producers is there, and then...
Let me ask a question, though. Did they say, try this or try just one?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, so you do it once through, and then they're like, okay, that was good, but remember this. Remember, he's the nicest guy in the world.
Right.
Because I think I was doing it more, a little more cutting before, and then he's like, no, there's no, he's not a cutting person. He's the nicest person in the world. And then you do it like that. They see if you could take the note.
Yeah.
And
they go, how do they end the call? Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, that's it.
What did you do right after that?
What did I do after that? I probably made food and just watched TV. I was really into the TV show Rome on HBO.
What?
Dude, I was so into Rome. It's a fun show. Have you ever watched Rome?
No.
Rome existed, and it's the reason Game of Thrones can exist now. And you'll see people that were casted in Game of Thrones that were in Rome. HBO takes care of the people they cast. You see somebody in one HBO thing, they're coming back, baby.
100%.
100%.
They keep it
what
tight.
What a world to be in. They keep it tight.
They keep it tight. So does in Law and Order.
Yeah.
And you know who else did it? Columbo.
Columbo?
Because they casted the same actors over and over.
But they also, I feel like they launched some careers. They also got some hard gets at the time. They were getting like celebrities. Am I wrong?
Because it was a hot show.
It
was a hot show. And he's such a great actor. He's one of the first
film Dick Van Dyke on there, man.
Yeah. I mean, Dick Van Dyke was at the end of his career at that point.
But still, those shows were like,
he wasn't Chim Chim.
They're like movies.
He wasn't Chim Chim Maru.
No.
He wasn't Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Dick Van Dyke at that time.
Fuck that movie. God, I got it in my Easter basket one year, and I was like, what are you doing?
I'm going to tell you right now.
I watched it a lot. I don't hate it.
I'm going to tell you right now. I got to say this. I'm going to say this. This is a big announcement. I'm going to say something right now. You just said, fuck Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Did you say it? Did you just answer the question?
I said it.
I want you to be honest.
I said it.
No, don't. I don't want you to back down. I want you to stick to your gut. Did you say fuck Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
I did.
Okay. Okay, here's the deal. If this was a year and a half ago, I'd probably kick you out of the studio. I'd probably stop watching Animal Control. I'd probably break this throne chair over, not yours, but one of my producers. I'd kill one of them. Probably Max.
What changed?
I watched it with my kid and my wife. I put it in. It was our Saturday night. We had a night off. They were watching Chitty. Here it is. I've been waiting 9 years to do this because now he's old enough to watch it.
Uh-huh.
And 20 minutes in, they go, this stinks. Both of them. They went, ugh. I looked over. They were looking at each other, whispering to each other. And I went, this movie stinks. The movie stinks. It takes so long to get to the fucking flying car. There's not that much shit. The only thing, it's got a pedophile in it that snatches kids.
The pedophile's the most interesting part of that movie.
Well, I mean, listen, you're on a like, network show. Can you chill out?
I mean, that's true. That's something to think about. You're like,
I got you. I'm going to protect you. We're getting out of this one. But no, the movie stinks. It really does. Fuck.
And you got to imagine, it's just a kid. I was watching cool movies from the 90s, you know? We're talking Blade, like cool shit.
Listen.
And then I go to my Easter basket, and they gave me Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on VHS. And I looked at it, I was like, what the fuck is this? And I watched it, and I tried to make myself appreciate it. They said, hey, this is art.
Toot, sweet.
The wonderful fife that is so fun to eat. And I,
toot,
yeah.
Sweet.
Toot sweet, the flavory savory five. Yeah, it's stuck in there.
It's great. Sure. It's a good song.
For sure. But I...
Chitty chitty bang bang. Chitty chitty bang bang.
I'm glad I had the presence
high,
of
low,
mind.
But everywhere you go.
In a motor car. Oh, what a happy time today.
Yes.
Bang bang, chitty chitty bang
bang. Bang.
Our 5-4 fendered friend.
Bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang.
Our 5-4 fender. Oh, chitty bang bang. Chitty chitty bang bang. 5-4 fender. Friend, yeah, it sticks. It sticks. It hits it. When it gets in there, it sticks.
Once it's in there, yeah, those type of movies. There was a couple of those movies growing up as a kid.
Yep.
But that one, it takes a long, dude. It takes a different type of kid. TikTok kids. My kid was like, my kid was gonna literally. I saw him. He was actually YouTubing on his phone how to make a noose. And I looked over and he was tying a blanket together. He was going to hang himself. He was so bored.
Has he watched Everything Everywhere All at Once yet?
No, I can't. Listen, that movie's too much.
I mean,
that's too much for me. The people that were in that movie, I guarantee didn't watch that movie. The woman who won the Oscar was like, "Yeah, I'm not watching this
shit. Watch it.
It's too much. It was a good movie, but it was too much." No,
I loved it.
But so now, hey, I want to get back to our story. I want to get sidetracked. So we go back. You get the car. What's next? You throw it away. You have a sandwich.
I have a sandwich.
You have your water.
I ate my food.
You watch Rome, and then how many days goes?
Dude, okay. I don't remember how many days go by, but I remember I was trying to learn to salsa. I was trying to stop smoking weed. I wasn't drinking. I was trying to not smoke weed because last time I was on the podcast, I was like, "I'm sorry, I smoked a little weed before I got here."
Yeah. And last time you were on the podcast, you stayed.
I was fighting.
First of all,
for
your
my
roommate
life.
Jordan came in,
dusted me,
Dustin. You were just staring at me like this.
I walked away, and me and Jordan left, and I was like, "Was I terrible?" She was like, "No, you know, you did good. You played up. You were just cute. You weren't too funny." I was like, "Yeah, okay."
Jordan walks in. "Why are you late?" "I was fucking some dude. Let's do this." Woo! She was fucking Sufi.
She was ready for it.
You were like this.
She made a name for herself in that. And I was just on the outskirts like,
And you were supposed to be the one on, not her.
Oh, dude. And I knew it when we were going. I was like, "She's going to fucking dust my ass, dude. She's built for it."
So you're trying to salsa.
I'm trying to learn salsa. No, but okay. That's the hope. You're trying to get there.
I mean, that is
you're
the
trying
hope.
To get prepared.
That's every man's hope is to date a Spanish girl.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to marry a Spanish girl.
I wound up with a Polack.
Wow.
I wanted a Puerto Rican with blue eyes, but I didn't get it.
You wanted Wow.
I didn't want a passive aggressive Polack. I wanted a Puerto Rican that would put up her dukes and we could fight it out.
Right?
Yeah.
You're a little mean. You want a gal. It's mean.
Poppy, get you up to Westchester.
I love you, but you're fucking stupid.
Stupid. So when do you get the call? What happens next?
I'm leaving a salsa class, and I'm feeling good because it gets me centered. Because you have to focus. You can only focus on salsa. You're not thinking about other stuff while you're salsaing. You're focusing on salsa.
You really? That was real?
That's real, dude.
Salsa class,
dude. I was trying not to smoke weed because I heard it. Over time, it will not. It's not good for your hippocampus, which is your center of learning. So my idea was, I won't smoke weed, and I'll try to learn a new motor skill.
Salsa.
And that'll make up for the weed I've smoked and help my brain learn better.
So you're coming out of salsa class. Was it a good salsa class?
Yeah, it was great. It's always,
I would imagine you're with older people.
No, you're with young people. There's a bunch of young people in New York that you can tell just moved from like flyover states. They're like, "I'm in New York and I'm gonna salsa."
How much is this salsa?
So cost? Into it. Dude, it's $100 for a month. It's so affordable, it's insane. $100 for a month. You can go to as many classes as you want. You can salsa, you can bachata every day except Saturday.
Bachata? What's a bachata?
Bachata, it's in the salsa family. You step into the side.
It's the cousin of the salsa? Yeah. Hello, my name is Bachata.
Hey. Mucho gusto.
So you're coming out of salsa class.
And they're like, "Okay, you're in a holding deal." And then they explain, "We're going to send you this contract."
You have an agent?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're like, "You're going to sign it, and you sign it, and you're committing to 6 years, but you don't, 6 seasons, but you don't have the job yet. You're up against two other guys." Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Before that, they call me, and then I have a callback, still leaving salsa. And they're like, "You're going to read with Joel."
Oof.
Joel McHale.
Now, what does that do to you?
That, I was in a good place at the time.
Okay.
I was taking care of myself. I was like, I felt I felt good. I was in the pocket. I was like, all right, you know. I wasn't putting pressure on myself to like I had to get it.
You knew what you did to get there.
So I was like, okay, do that and just take care of yourself. Make sure you know the lines. So I did that. I was like, I was real in the pocket. I was going on runs and like learning my lines while I punched the air, like, we're gonna do this. And then I did the read with him. And again,
is that an original song or is
we're
that
we're gonna do this? Is gonna that, get it done? I just that's
an original song.
That's
okay, great. Original. I love it.
And I did the.
I could be in Rocky VII.
I'm gonna do this. Gonna get it done. Gonna win all the stuff that I want to get won. I'm the man. I'm on the town and I'm making good headway. Yeah, that's right. Get out of my way. I'm coming to town. Okay.
Gonna do this. I like it. I'm
loops back around. That was good.
It was good.
I go and I do that audition, and we lost.
Who's that?
We lost Tom.
Tom, beat it. Get out of my podcast.
We're going to do this song.
Tom Papa keeps coming up fucking.
And that's stressful for me, too. I just got a couple OGs staring at me.
Yeah. Lock the door. I don't want to be
nervous. He
knows
he makes me nervous.
Tom just wants a little accolades.
Should we say, Tom, get in here?
No, we don't have a microphone.
All right.
Go ahead.
So I do that audition, and they, like, make us improvise. Joel's funny. Joel, like. You reading with him, and out of nowhere, he's like, we're going to keep... It's like he just keeps doing the scene. We go from what's on the page, and then he just keeps going, and I don't know. I was like, yeah, okay. And then I just stayed in it with him, and I felt like that I did good with that. And again, they gave me the note, just remember, you're the nicest guy in the world. Remember, you're the sweetest guy in the world.
Right.
And then we improvised that scene again, and I was more nice, and we had fun with it. And then we did another scene... improvised, same note, nicest guy in the world, improvised it again after, you know, you do the scene and then you improvise on the back end. And then they're like, okay, thanks. And
what does Joel say?
He was like, good job.
That's it.
Yeah, he was really nice about it, but he was also, I don't know, he's been in the business a long time. He's, you know, he's withholding enough to know.
Is he produced? Is this his show?
He's a producer on it.
Okay, so he's got a lot of work to do. He's got to find this guy.
I mean, yes, and... Yeah, I feel bad for him sometimes. Everything rode on Joel McHale for the whole show when it was coming out because he's the face of it. So it's like...
He's the face of it, but he's very... I'll tell you what, he's very smart because the cast around him are great.
And he was really clear about that. After we got casted, he was so good about making us feel that and being like, you guys are so great. And I'd be like... The whole time I was an insecure mess, I was like, I don't know, Joel. I think I suck. He's like, trust me. You're great. You're doing great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, man. He was wonderful about
you. But here's the thing that people don't know, that you get this call. So now you do that. Now what happens?
That's when they do the holding deal call where they're like,
and that call blows your mind.
Yeah. They were like,
because you're going from, let me just see if I'm right. You're going from JFL, right? New faces,
mm-hmm.
right? To all of a sudden getting this audition. You're a callback now. You just read with Joel.
Yep.
And now your agent calls you up and goes, you're going to be making this much money an episode.
Right. If you get it.
If you get it, you're making thousands of dollars an episode.
Yep. Yep.
And 6 years.
Yeah.
And you and every year you get a 5% bump.
And apparently they renegotiated after 3 years.
After 3 years, if it's a hit, you get to renegotiate.
Yep.
So you're going to, if you get this, you're in. It's you and two other guys.
Yep.
It's down to you and two other guys. And you get this thing, and you, all of a sudden, you're wherever you are, and you hang up the phone, you're like, what?
Fuck. I was just like, damn. I was like, that's fucking crazy. And again, I felt like I was in an okay spot. You know, I fill my head with a lot of positive psychology stuff, so I was like, okay.
Yeah.
As long as I don't feel like I need this, maybe it'll come to me. Like, but I was taking care of myself, so I didn't. You know, I was like, I want this. I want this very,
but
very
I'm
bad.
Fine.
But I will be fine. I will make this work. It's still a good step.
Yeah.
Whatever. But then we get close to it. Like, it's supposed to be, they're like, we're going to find out in the next couple of days. They got to show the executives all this stuff, and then they're going to make a call. And you should know by Friday. And I'm like, okay. I don't remember what Thursday was like. But then Friday, somebody from inside... The organization was like, you should get some new good news later today. That was like 1 p.m. on Friday. And I that's when I was a nervous wreck, when they were like, you should get good news, somebody from inside.
Right.
And then it's like 6 hours until my agent and my manager call me to give me.
What are you doing in those 6 hours?
Dude, I was fucking.
How many times did you masturbate?
Miserable. I didn't masturbate 17? At all. I was going up to Williamsburg and doing like. Going to this bathhouse where I just do like saunas and ice baths to
oh, that's good.
Keep myself chill. Yeah. And then I'd go to this
place
called...
So you're going up to do a sauna and have sex with old men.
Exactly.
That's the way
really,
to do it.
You jerk off old men and they pay you. I right, was pretty... I was down
let me do
out.
The bad joke so you don't get in trouble. All right, listen, beep.
Beep.
Good.
I go over to this place called Cava Social where you drink cava in like Kratom.
What is that?
Dude. Okay.
You're doing a lot of stuff, bro.
I know, man. It's a lot of, like, trying to self-regulate and just be okay.
I got to do the same thing, dude. I had, like, yesterday.
It's constant.
I have to, if I don't work out during the day,
mm-hmm.
if I don't, like, yesterday, I feel it. It's all of a sudden, paranoia will come in.
Yes, yeah.
I'll see in other people's things. I'll be in the past or the future, not
yep.
the present.
Yep, yep.
And
yep.
I'll get irritable. And I know, so yesterday I just went, I worked out
mm-hmm.
in the driveway. I just did some kettlebell shit and
just
boxing.
Something, just to
and
get
And then I went
moving.
And took a sauna. I have a sauna in my house.
Oh, that's the dream. That's dude, the fucking dream.
You're there, dude. It's only $1,400 on Wayfair.
On Wayfair?
Dude.
I'm a Wayfair boy.
Dude, I'm a Wayfair boy. And you got a song for that?
I'm a Wayfair boy, not a welfare boy. I got money in the bank. But not enough to waste, so I'm taking it to Wayfair. Got to move, got more clothes. Oh, fuck, I lost it.
That was a good one. I like that one. That actually had me. I was listening. You had me. Tell
I like
but yeah,
that
I did that. I went in the sauna, took a shower. I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back. I go into the sauna. The last 10 minutes, I meditate. I do that. I do that pause. And it's. I know there's people going to be, dude, you're fucking queer, dude. Dude, you're positive, dude. Listen, positive affirmations.
Makes a difference.
For me.
No.
For me, because I can spiral
yeah,
and become
I spiral easily.
A monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, fuck you, fuck everybody, mm-hmm. go mm-hmm. fuck that. I'll go, and I want to Bill Bixby. I want to get a fucking a backpack and hit the highway
yep.
and go wash dishes in fucking Poughkeepsie.
I get you
know,
that. Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. No, and I think positive affirmations, positive self-talk, when you can do it and regulate, it helps because ultimately the thoughts you have over and over again, they make grooves in your brain. If you can train yourself to move towards another mode of thinking more often, your brain will default to that more often. And it's a better way to live.
It's 100% like, better way to live.
Dude, you know what I've been really getting into the last few days is, I forget, well, I think I was listening to Joe Dispenza, which I don't want to give the man too much credit because he says wild shit. About like mindset and how he's like, you can live forever and we're curing cancer. And I'm like, all right, now we're getting into the weird televangelist territory again with your meditation shit. But just focusing on, not focusing on memories that have a negative connotation because you'll relive stuff you did and you feel it in your body. You tense up like you're back in that situation where you fucked up or you're tense. And trying to focus on just relaxing your body, like being in the moment and yeah. being like, how do I feel when I'm actually relaxed? And then feeling it. You can make yourself relax when you think about it. And then operating from that place. I don't know. It's a
dude,
lot.
Dude, I've literally go. I can. I've gotten to a place. This is, sounds weird as shit.
No.
I've gotten to a place. Can you make some more noise, Joe? Thanks. I mean, this guy's nuts. And he's walking around like he's on a fucking the E train. I mean,
farm,
sit the
Joe.
Fuck down, Joe. Hang on. I got to meditate. We're talking about getting sent in positive thinking, and I snap on this fucking autistic asshole because he's walking around. We have microphones on, Joe. We're literally recording something. You're walking around like you're fucking trying to figure out your next cheese show. I don't know. Maybe it's a fucking a 4-year-old cheddar. Shut up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Anyways. Dude, if I don't meditate, dude, I hate the world. Mm. I really can hate the world. I just go negative. I have to do this. And I've actually gotten to a point in the sauna where I'm floating over Lake George.
No shit.
Literally floating. And I can see houses. And I've literally been in front of people's windows, like, just sit and meditate. And then I fly above the trees.
No bullshit.
Well, dude, yeah, weird shit. Like, no. There's a place you can get to where you can actually just go places.
Yes. I mean, that stuff is, it's real.
Yeah.
It's documented.
I wake up in the morning and I have to sit on the edge of the bed. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do that, if I sit on the edge of the bed and have intent for the day, mm-hmm. I have to have intent. Mm-hmm. I want to come from a better place and I want to help somebody today. I want to do, I got to come from that place. If I don't have intent, I don't know where I go all over.
No,
the place.
But that just comes down to giving your life meaning. And especially in a world right now that's super sped up, there's a ton of distractions. There's a ton of things you can do where you're not even in sync with what you ultimately want.
Right.
So now you make me want to be better about intention at the beginning of the day.
Yeah. I try to have intent at the beginning of the day. And then I try to kill the ego by being present.
That's a huge thing.
If you kill the ego is past and future. Mm-hmm. And try to be right now, what's going on, and take a second.
And be relaxed about it.
So I think that's important. And
absolutely.
Look, I've always kept that part of me, because as a comic.
Absolutely.
As a comic, it's like, dude, you're fucking really going to. And I don't care. Give me shit.
Yeah.
You hit me, I have to. I have no choice. I have a 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. Loves your show, by the way.
He sounds like he's got discerning taste, which I appreciate.
He really does. Anyways, I want to go back. So now you get the call. What happens? Who calls you? Your agent?
My agent and manager call me.
Because they love calling each other. But here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
They love
We got to talk together.
And then they get, hey, dude, you ready? Did they fuck with you at first? Like, you didn't get it? They love doing that.
No. They don't do that. They don't fuck with me like that. You know what's so weird? One of the ways I killed time was I did an independent short film for a young guy, Jacob. Oh, fuck. I forget his last name. He just is trying to direct and he shoots his own thing.
Right.
Where I play a character sort of like the guy on Animal Control, but he's way more into drugs and way dumber.
Yeah.
And we go and watch it at this independent film festival where half the movies are just like dog shit. Have you ever been to an
I was in one.
Oh my lord.
Me and Billy Byrne DeRosa wrote a movie called Cheat. Uh-huh. And we were in the Tribeca Film Festival.
How long ago was this?
This was a long time ago.
So you guys were like young guys, right?
We were young guys. We had to go to the festival. You have to sit through all these movies.
And you're like, what the fuck? And I remember being like, our movie's pretty fucking good compared to some of these stinkers.
There it is right there. Unessential.
Unessential. Oh yeah, baby. Jacob Paul, baby. He casted me in that.
Yeah.
And, I just go to this film festival and, do a panel with all these other directors and actors that are part of it. And the whole time I keep dipping in and out, just, looking at my phone and being like, should I call somebody? Should I ask them? And they're just like, don't be weak. Just wait.
Don't be weak, yeah.
Yeah. And then I got real superstitious where I was like, well, maybe if I journal or I do my comedy writing for the day, that'll help deliver it.
You're trying to just
I have to do my
it.
Work. Or something, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing a bunch of Kratom at Kava Social, just getting geeked.
Yeah.
And then they called me, and I was like, fuck, yeah. And you know who I called? I called my mom, and she didn't answer. Then I called my dad, and he answered, and I told him, and I was happy I called him.
What'd he say?
He was just super proud of me.
Did you tell him the whole deal?
Yeah. And he's sort of a stiff Southern dude who's been like, he's supportive. He really is. But he was also like, for years, just like, if you wanted to just get a job that has to do with your degree or just something to, just worried about me. And so he was, he just kept saying, he's religious too. So he was like, God bless. Damn, God bless it, man. God bless. And I was like, yeah. Started like tear up.
God bless. If you make 6 years, I'm going to get a new truck. Yeah. God bless. You answered my prayers too, God. Thank God this dum-dum never used his degree. And he went and threw it all in the hell, devil fucking spawn New York City. And he rolled the dice.
Dude, he thinks the devil's here. He doesn't say, he's not like, that's the devil. But he's like,
Bobby I've Boucher
been to LA.
Got the devil.
Land of fruits and nuts, huh? Which one are you, fruit or a nut? He likes to call people from New York Yankees. And he says it and he means it. He's like, those fucking Yankees.
Where are you from originally?
Atlanta.
Atlanta, but
my
the
whole
woods.
Family's from Savannah. Savannah. Dude, I'm like suburbs of Atlanta. Okay. Where it's like if I met a real southern, real like rural southern person, I'd look like a fake.
Right.
I'd look like I was pretending to be.
Now in the show, so you get the show, you get it. Everything. Now you got to go do the table
this
read.
This is when the anxiety got the worst.
Yeah, because you got to go meet people.
Yeah, but also like it could fall through. This is when
is this?
This is when
is
I
this,
ramped up.
Is
and
this
my
for
true
a go?
Self broke
sorry.
Through.
No, is this for ahead. A go thing or is this for the just a pilot?
Dude, no. You know what's fucked up? They're like, we're going. This is straight to series. No, dude. I got him obscenely lucky. I mean, to go straight to series and it's a character that doesn't suck or make me look like a piece of shit and sort of jives with who I am. Yeah. I was like, my God.
And to make 30,000 an episode is crazy.
That's right. And they fucking, but I fucking.
Was that close?
That was when I, was that, it was close. I started to get, that was when I really got anxious. I was really good. I felt really strong and centered, and then they were like, it's going. And then I was like, fuck, but what if it doesn't go? And then what if little things happen? What if we do the table read? What if we do the Zoom read?
Yeah.
And people get fired and I get fired. And I remember we do the first Zoom read and I'm like, fuck, everybody's so fucking good. And they know what they're doing. And I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. And my agent's like, no, nobody will get fired after the table read or the Zoom. And then I find out after we do the table read and the Zoom, they were just making me feel better. People absolutely get fired yeah, after 100%. Table read. 100%.
Yeah, I think Colin 100%. Quinn got fired. Dane Cook got fired from a table read.
Really?
The guy came in. They changed heads of studios during the production.
See, that stuff happens.
He walked in and said, yeah, you get him out.
You never feel fully secure. And that's so funny. You talk to other actors, they feel the same thing. Yeah. I got there, I was an insecure mess, and they're like, we're all worried we're going to get fired too. That's what this job is. And then you learn that part of the job of being an actor is just being an insecure mess and like sort of dealing with it.
Yeah.
You talk to everybody, and they're like, yeah, we don't know what the
fuck
we're
doing. That's why they take care of everything.
Yes.
Would you like anything? Because we know you're a nightmare.
You're a
mess.
I mean, and you get there and you see the amount of work that went into getting everything set up before you get there. And they're just like, all right, it's all on you. Right. And you're like, there was part of me that was like, yes, people should make this much money. This is fucking awful. Yeah. And they're just going to show it to the world and be like, what do you think?
Yeah.
Do you hate them? You fucking hate them? It's fucking crazy.
So you get this thing. You go shoot. Where do you shoot, by the way?
Vancouver.
I knew it.
Vancouver.
I knew it. That's what Psych filmed too.
Yes, it is. And I didn't know that till I got there. I really thought they were in Santa Barbara.
I knew it was Vancouver because of the weather.
Yeah.
You shoot in what, fall?
Dude, we shoot fall. We shot winter.
You shot winter, yeah.
Late fall, winter.
Yeah, you can tell it's Vancouver.
Yeah.
And where is it supposed to be? Seattle?
Dude, it's supposed to be Seattle, but originally they wrote it like, let's do Chicago. Well, and then shoot it in Toronto, and they're like, we're not going to shoot it in Toronto. And they're like, all right, I guess it's in Seattle.
They settled on
Seattle because they knew they had to shoot in Vancouver.
Because you can't shoot in Seattle because Antifa will kill you.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Dude, I mean,
you'll be.
I feel like they got a stronger contingent.
In Vancouver now.
What's PETA?
PETA. Oh, really? Are they attacking the show?
They don't like the show, yeah.
Why?
Animals. They just assume there's animal cruelty involved. When there's not, I mean, the animal wranglers we had were awesome.
Well, I got questions about this, too. I got questions about the show.
Okay.
I got questions. We're going to get into the questions after. So now, you get the show. You're on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's going. You got to do all the press junkets and shit like that?
No, there wasn't even a lot of that, man.
No,
we did like a premiere in Los Angeles, and that was weird. And then
they flew you out first class?
Yep.
How was that?
Wow.
You know that?
Wow.
They have to.
Dude, Bobby, I don't know. You might love this. You might hate this. Marc Maron was on that flight. And I grew up. I mean, you were on Maron's show.
Sure,
I loved Maron's show. I also loved his podcast very much. When I was starting, I listened
to it. Yeah, of course.
Obsessively. But I remember he was like waiting to get on the flight, just anxious energy, shuffling around, duster jacket. And I looked at him. I saw him look at me, and I could see that he could tell I recognized him. And then we got on the flight, and they put me in like the business class in the front, and then Maron was in first class slightly back. Isn't one slightly nicer than the other?
So you first class is up front. Business class is behind that.
Okay, so I was in first class, and then Maron was in business class, and I was up front like, this is fucked up. I had to like watch Mark Maron walk by me. I was like, this is so fucked up. I don't know how I feel about this.
You wanted to go give him your cookies?
Yeah.
I did. Just... They don't give you cookies back. All right.
He would hate me forever. I was
so you had the lie down.
Yeah, bro.
And he had the bigger seat.
I was sitting up there like, I was laying down up there like, Maron's just back there sitting. That's fucking... That's nuts.
Maron's like this, and you're like this.
But I feel like you make that trip enough. You're like, yeah, put me in fucking first class. I don't need to spend the money. What are you doing?
It's in the contract from the unions that they have to fly you first class.
Oh, really?
It's in your contract. When they need you to do something,
yeah,
they have to fly you first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I did that on when I did Sex and Drugs.
Uh-huh.
And
because that's also...
That was Fox.
That's Leary.
Yeah, that's Leary.
Yeah.
So it was Fox, which is great. Great company to work for. And I remember they were doing the upfronts. So next year, you're going to have to go do the upfronts.
They didn't have us at the upfronts this year.
So they'll probably have you next year.
Strike stuff.
So what's that?
I think because of the strike. The strike took
sure, probably something yeah, like yeah. that. Yeah. But I remember when I was like, okay, they're going to fly you to LA to do the upfronts. And I remember they were just the nines. And I'm like, I'm trying to pretend like I'm used to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just want to. Great. Like everything they give
it's
you,
so
you want to
cool.
take everything out of it.
Yeah,
like the little Toomey bag. I still have it,
dude. I still have my. They gave me the toiletries bag.
Yeah,
it's in my backpack. I keep I keep a razor and a toothbrush in there in case I'm on the go and I need to freshen up.
No, but you know somebody's rich and famous when they just leave that shit.
I can't believe that. That's good. Never either open it and keep it forever. Or keep it closed, leave it there. It feels, everything in there, you're like, I don't want to waste this. I can't throw this away. Are you kidding?
You know the guy is got a lot of money because I look over and he just gets in, takes his shoes off and goes to bed for the flight. Doesn't eat, doesn't take any of the amenities.
I was sitting up for all of it, just like wide awake, like, well, what are we doing? What movies can we watch? How many drinks can I get?
Yeah.
I was going off, man.
Yeah.
Fun as hell.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. So now you go out there, you do all this stuff, you film the show.
Yep. Film the show, come back, go to LA real quick and do the like premiere thing at Fox, which is fun. And then come back to New York, and it took me a minute. I took like a month off. I was still doing stand-up a couple times a week, but it definitely felt like I was going pretty hard for 10 years trying to get somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why don't I just chill a little bit? So I just watched a shitload of TV, stayed at home a lot, didn't really do much.
I didn't, you know, I shut it down too when I was on Sex and Drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, filming all day. But here's the thing. It never bothered.
It doesn't bother me either.
I love, dude. Oh, you gotta sit in the trailer. What?
What?
Yeah. I'll sleep all day.
Dude, it was cool. And you feel like I didn't write this. It's shameful, but it's also fun. I didn't write one new bit the whole time I was there because I was just like, I'm working.
Yeah.
And then I'd just be in the trailer, dude, fucking chilling.
Like, the other actors would be like, oh, so we gotta sit here. I'd be like,
yeah, yeah.
Dude, I am fucking in my trailer. I have a trailer. With a TV, I can have a guy out front that gets me anything I want.
Yes.
I would sleep all day.
It's so
I nap
good.
All fucking day. Dude, I set up when we were in the studio, we finally got a studio over in Brooklyn. Dude, I brought in an espresso maker, an espresso. Like, people would come to my dressing room.
Uh-huh.
For breaks.
Like, yeah.
And they would come to talk. They'd be like, dude, what the fuck? I'd like, come on in. I'd make them cappuccinos.
Dude, that's such a nice quality that I would like to be more like that. We had one guy on set like that, Ravi Patel,
who's
the funniest part of the show to me.
He's from Canada, right?
No. Ravi's from, he was in Chicago until he was 11. Then he came up in North Carolina.
Okay.
In like Charlotte, North Carolina. He's got a great documentary where you can sort of meet his family. It's called Meet the Patels. It's fucking awesome. He's a very funny dude, but he's also just very open. So he had the trailer where he's like, come over, get some whiskey, get some wine, fucking do what you do. Put your feet up, eat.
Yeah, I had that too.
It's a great quality.
And with the two girls, we had the two smoking girls, Elizabeth Gillies.
Of course.
And Elaine.
Of course.
Elaine Hendricks. I mean, they would just come and cuddle with me.
Stop.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the other thing.
They would come and cuddle, and we'd hang out, and we would just like watch stuff on the fucking my iPad. Yeah.
They just become your best friends for a little bit. You just like have a little surrogate family party. It's so sweet.
So you got Joel.
Joel.
Who, now, how is he to work with?
He's great to work with.
Yeah.
He's super generous. He's really good at being present with people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
But he's present. He's a fucking worker. He'll show up and do the thing.
I mean, he's the only guy on that real. I mean, there was Talk Soup. There was the first guy.
Yep.
Greg Kilborn.
Mm-hmm.
No, is that it? Greg? No.
I thought he was.
Not him. Who was the
he
first
was
guy?
Daily Show. Who? I don't. Well, before him was.
Who was the guy? What was the guy? First guy?
Well, there was a girl before him.
Craig. Oh, was it Craig? Who was the first guy on Talk Soup?
Aisha Taylor, I think, was. Is that right?
Are I like Aisha. I just saw Aisha. No. He's
I
want to
meet her.
I just saw her at an airport. She still looks good. Who is it?
Oh, what's her name? Kinnear?
Greg Kinnear.
Greg Kinnear.
Was that right about Aisha
That
Taylor?
Was the first guy. Yeah, she took over at some point. But I believe Greg Kinnear and Joel were the only guys that actually did that show service, because that was a funny show.
Dude, and you know what? It's so fun to talk to Joel. He just has so many. You can ask him all these questions about Hollywood and what's this person like? What's this person like? Because he's just been in the business for such a long time.
My question is this. Why is he so shredded?
Dude, I don't know. I really don't know, because he works hard. He loves to go out to meals. And, you know, he's not shy about having some glasses of wine. Like, he's living.
I mean, he's not.
But I think he's really just committed to the lifestyle of being like, I got 4 hours of sleep, but I'm still getting in the fucking gym.
He's jacked.
And I'm hitting it. He's jacked.
Jacked.
He's beautiful. But I mean, he was like D1 back in college.
Oh, really?
He's been that guy. He's got the genetics for it, so to speak.
Well, I'll tell you who else I love on it. My pal, Jerry D.
Jerry D. Jerry D's so fucking funny.
He's a massive star in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And his show in Canada was hilarious. You ever see his show?
Mr. D.
Mr.
Well, I
D
watched
was
clips
awesome.
From him.
Another show I loved.
He's so funny, and he's good at just like the subtle. He's never hamming it up. He delivers things from a whisper, like, what do you, stop.
Yeah.
He delivers things from a whisper.
I love him. So he's so television funny.
Yeah.
Such a great comedic actor.
Great timing.
And I toured with him, Canada.
Yeah.
He was such a great, he's a man's
I man. Want to. I want to do shows with him. He is. He loves sports.
Yep.
He took us to Canucks games.
Yep.
Because he just gets free tickets. He's Jerry D. Bro, he's the fucking king of Canada.
He's the king of Canada, dude. It's he sells great. Out.
He hosts Family Feud.
It's huge.
He's so, yeah, man. And he just loves, he's a family man.
Yeah.
Loves his kids. He's like, I don't give a fuck what grades my kids get. They need to be good at sports. And I'm like, I respect it, bro. He's like, he really loves sports. And he really was just a gym teacher in Canada for a hot minute.
And now he's the king of Canada.
He is.
And he's on the show. You got the girl, the other girl.
You got Vella Lovell and Grace Palmer.
Okay, who are
wonderful.
Vella is the one that works with. Who's that? Is that your love interest?
Vella's my love interest, who's sort of our boss, and she was on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend before this, and also Mr. Mayor with Ted Danson and Bobby Moynihan. She's so funny. She's so good at what she does.
Right.
And she's just a very kind
she's
person.
Really pretty.
So fun to work
so
with.
So pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, that's awesome that you get. You know what I mean?
Again, that was such a thing where I was like, how lucky could I get where they're just like, you're going to be this sweet guy that all the women are attracted to.
Yep.
All these beautiful women.
And the other girl is, what's her name?
Grace Palmer.
Grace Palmer.
Who's
she's
the, like, homie, where I would just like stay at her house when I was in between places.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Because we were closer in terms of our experience. Like, Vella done a bunch of stuff. Ravi's been a journeyman. He's done a bunch of stuff. Joel, obviously, has done a bunch of stuff. Grace has done stuff, but she came from New Zealand. She did, like, soap operas in New
Zealand. So you stayed with her
Zealand.
Up and while you were filming?
Yeah, because I had, like, an Airbnb, and then when I was in between places, I'd stayed with her. Or if we had, like, a late night, I'd just go stay at her place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because she had an extra room in her. She had this beautiful house with her husband, and I would just go kick it with them.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And but then you got the Here's the weird part about this show, which I love. Because I love when shows don't care.
Yeah.
They just do shit and figure it out.
Yeah.
These guys, relax. It's a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the guy, you know what I'm talking about.
The ear.
The guy got attacked by a fucking cougar.
It was a mink.
A mink. He got attacked by a mink.
Lost his ear. Yep.
And he had a fake ear on. That was ridiculous. Just nuts. And then all of a sudden he comes back for the next episode. and he got an ear replacement. Yeah. That doesn't exist.
So it's just his ear makeup on it.
With pink makeup, a little bit around it. It's nuts. It's like the movie Face Off.
Dude, that dude is so funny. Kevin Bacon.
But here's the thing, he's you. Dude, I guarantee he went up for your part.
Oh, you think?
He did.
Well, one of the guys, Bob Fisher, who works with Dennis Leary a lot. Bob Fisher is one of the creators of the show.
Yes, I love
He
Bob
works
Fisher.
With Dennis Leary a ton. That's his guy. Writes for him.
Yeah.
Lovely man. Shepherded me. God, I Bob fucking Fisher's love Bob
great.
Fisher.
Yes.
If we have time, I'll tell you about a call he gave me because that was awesome. But he wrote a show on USA called Sirens.
I was in it.
Yeah?
I was in Bob Fisher.
Bigley was...
Listen to me. I got a Coke... Look it up. I got a Coke bottle stuck in my asshole.
That's your episode of Sirens?
It opens up me doggy position with the guys looking up my... I had a towel over my ass, and they had to... I was a rich lawyer, I think.
Yeah.
My family went away for the weekend. As soon as they went, I stuck something in my ass.
Yes.
And they had to get it out.
That was my episode.
Yes.
Okay. So Bob Fisher... Did Animal Control sort of learn? He was big. He was a writer on Sirens, one of the creators. Yeah. Bigley was my character in Sirens, essentially.
Yes.
Yes. You remembered it.
Yes.
Yes.
That's where I know him from.
And that's where they learned the format of we can kill scenes inside a truck.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can have funny scenes inside a
Hilarious.
Truck.
Hilarious. Great show. Sirens, another USA Network show, which I love.
USA knocks it out of the park a lot of the time.
Yeah.
USA. Characters welcome, but fucking. Did you ever watch Workaholics?
Yeah,
that was a great. They like one of the characters gets super hype. He's like, "This is USA. We're in the United. This is USA. Characters welcome." Anyway, so Bigley came from that world,
right.
And they.
But
Fisher and Greenberg love him, so he's in the show and he's fucking hilarious.
Do you think that you auditioned? Do you think that he auditioned for your part?
I honestly, I don't know that I thought about it that much.
You guys are very similar.
We are. We're both very similar.
You're very positive. You're very like, he comes in like, hey, that's good. You can
and work. He loves stand-up. He loves comedy.
Right.
And he likes, dude, we talked about so much stuff. We had so much crossover where it's like, you like boxing, you like comedy. And then we just gabbed about that.
I remember being in the van with him. We were at the hotel. And we were there during Sandy.
Really?
They were filming. We all got stuck.
Wait.
In Chicago. They filmed it in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And we got stuck in Chicago. And I had whooping cough. I remember I got whooping cough.
People still get whooping cough?
Dude, I do. I'm fucking... I remember I had to get put in another hotel.
Uh-huh.
This fancy hotel was all white. The rooms were white. It was like being in heaven. And I was taking a shit. And I had a coughing fit. And I passed out. And I woke up just banging my head. Literally, I was just banging my head off of the door, this white door, and I came through, and my lips were numb, and I looked, and the door was just all blood from my head.
Oh, my God!
My bald head. And I was just like, ugh. And I had to call my wife. I'm like, And then I had to find my way home.
What the fuck?
It was the fucking best week of my life working on Sirens, and then it went to shit.
What the fuck?
I just went to shit. Like that. Like, we couldn't get home. I wound up, I remember, yeah, I had what it was nuts.
Jesus
I almost died,
Christ, man,
in this hotel.
Yeah,
but I remember.
Did you get
to
the bottom of why that happened?
Because when you get whooping cough, you cough so much
that you don't get air in your brain.
So I just passed out.
Jesus Christ!
And I was banging. I was like shitting and banging my head. Could you imagine if they found me?
Oh my God!
They'd be like, somebody murdered this fat fuck. While he was shitting. His head is smashed against the door. Yeah, it was crazy. But that, another great show. And
yep.
Bob Fisher.
Bob Fisher.
I remember Bob.
Yeah, Bob Fisher was the man. He also co-wrote Wedding Crashers. It's so funny. I did a podcast with Greg Stone in here like last week, and we ended up talking about Bob Fisher. We made a song about Bob Fisher.
Can I hear
Only
it?
Because Bob Fisher.
That's it?
There's more to it, but I can't remember. Max might remember. But I remember I was doing the show, and I was so fucking... anxiety ridden and insecure. And one night Bob Fisher calls me and he goes, hey man, I know you're insecure about what you're doing on the show. And the whole time we're on set, he's like, listen, you're doing great. If you weren't doing great, we'd tell you. We have a vested interest in this being great.
Yeah.
We want you to be great. I promise you're doing great. And then he calls me one night and he goes, hey man, I know you're super anxious about how you're doing. And I want you to know it's okay. be as anxious as you want to be.
Because that's the guy.
Because that's part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'll keep being here to tell you you're doing fine. You can be as anxious as you want to be. And, dude, that was like, that's just, I never heard that. Because everybody would be like, you don't need to be anxious. You don't need to be anxious. And he's like, listen, be as anxious as you want.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah.
You know, don't be ashamed of it. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It, like, it was that's the sweetest great. Thing anybody ever could have said.
Well, I'll tell you right now, dude.
Remember it.
You're killing it on the show.
Thank you.
You're the best thing on that show. Oh. I mean, I'm telling you, that's a, and it's an amazing cast. I love everybody. They're, I really do. The cast whole cast
is super is
the cast
fantastic.
Is fantastic, but your character and the what's happening with him is what me and my son we find interesting. That you didn't hook up with that girl. You dumped the other girl.
And now I'm just
now,
out here.
Now
I
just
wonder
there,
what happens. I
and
wonder
she's
if
she's gonna hook up with New Ear.
I know,
which bothers me because that's the same guy. And she's so unassumingly gorgeous.
I know.
You go and you're like, oh, this is just the girl running the play. All of a sudden, you look every episode. You're like, this girl is smoking.
She is
everything about her. Everything. She's like the one. And then you finally figure it out. And you're done.
It's over.
Now, the episodes, you film more episodes? Are they coming? When are they coming?
We don't know, because we have the writer's strike going on. But now it's my understanding us actors are going to strike, too, and then it'll all happen faster. It'll all end faster. So
I've been on a strike for 5 years since... I've been on a strike, apparently, for 5 years since Sex and Drugs died.
When was the last time you acted in something?
On legit stuff. Well, look, man, I do TV and stuff like that.
I feel like Dennis.
Not TV. I've done. I'm working with Dennis again. We're working on something now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but that when something like that goes, man, it's such a beautiful thing for an actor, especially a comedian,
because
we get to relax for a second.
Like what we were saying before, though, is you never. I don't know, at least with acting, it's never, nothing's ever 100% until you're there and you're shooting it.
Hey,
so
listen, you're doing great.
Thank you.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
And the show's killing.
And I'm finally doing stand-up again, Bobby, so like really trying to do it.
Dude,
good.
You're killing it.
Thank
and
you.
I'm very happy for you.
Thank
That's
you.
Why I wanted you on. I got questions from the fans.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Did you put Max's questions in here?
Yeah.
Did you put that they're Max's questions?
They're labeled VIP. It's all the VIP.
Where's the VIP? I don't see it.
There's the one fan question.
Got it. And then got it. Right. Big Ben Cock 69.
Okay.
This is not going to be good.
I'm ready.
Big Ben Cock 69. What's your favorite animal to work with on Animal Control?
Oh, this dog named Jupiter. Which was the big attack dog. Do you remember the episode where there's an attack dog that like puts us in a closet?
The one in the, yeah.
That dog was the fucking shit. That dog was so sweet. It's basically a game they train the dog to do where it wants to attack that
arm. Is that when you put on that outfit?
Yeah.
Which I literally just bought.
The Gucci pajamas?
I didn't get the Gucci, but it's like matching. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I kind of want to do it too. But that dog, when it wasn't in attack mode, her name is Jupiter. Sweetest dog in the fucking world. Right. So fun.
All right, question number two. You ready? This is VIP questions from my son.
Okay.
These are all from my son.
What's your son's name again?
Max.
Okay, I'm ready.
Maximus. How did you get the show audition? Well, we already covered that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that question. Sorry, Max. We answered that.
Sorry, Max.
Sorry. Do they use CGI?
Dude, they only use CGI for the cougar when it's far away.
Really?
Everything else is like puppets. We're big on puppets.
You're big, so it's like the original Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They were just doing the best puppets they could, but all the far away cougar alive stuff was CGI.
All right, here's another question from the VIP Maximus.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get scared from any of the animals?
Not like full on scared, but you're definitely on your toes with like ostriches because they will just like peck your face, so you have to be ready.
Yeah.
You have to be aware.
Right. All right. We got to wrap up here. So you did get scared from some of the animals. The I went to Aruba and they attacked me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're actually, we
mean animals.
We worked with prepubescent ostriches, so they're not as like violent, but Full-grown ostriches are mean. Yeah, they're not
They're terrible. What do you mean?
They don't want to get touched.
No, they want food.
Yeah.
And they'll do whatever means it is to get to it. And they have back claws, like raptors.
And if they punch you in the front, apparently their front kick has enough power to disembowel a lion. So you never stand in front of an ostrich. You stand behind it.
That's great. Good to know. Fun facts Animal Control. All right, where did you film? We already talked about Vancouver, Max.
Vancouver.
And here's the last question. You ready?
Yes.
Did you like Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
I didn't see it because I didn't think I would like it.
Wow. There you go, Max.
I don't like superhero movies.
Don't do that. Don't go further into it.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, you're going further into it.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, what are you doing?
Sorry.
I mean, just say no and move on. You don't tell him. Now he might not like them because he likes you so much. You might change his whole trajectory in life.
Is that bad if we don't like Marvel movies? How do you feel about them?
I love them. Okay. And my son loves them too, but maybe not now.
Cut
because
it.
The star Cut it of Animal Control.
I like some. The first two Iron Men I really dug. Those first two Iron Men were...
Look at him. Don't look at me.
The Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, God.
The one with...
You don't even know.
The one with Jake Gyllenhaal. I loved that one. There are some I really like. First Guardians of the Galaxy, fine. But when we got to 3, I was like, I don't need it. I don't really like the Thor series.
Oh, boy.
Even though
people
like Thor
Ragnarok. It's crazy. Now you're going down a thing. I mean, really... Wow.
But, oh, also Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, really loved it. Because they had the dude from New Girl voicing the sort of washed up Spider-Man.
Yes.
He was so funny. He's like, we broke up. And I went down a hole. But then I was in my apartment, Jack and Iron, getting strong. There's like, he's got such a great.
That's what you were doing before you booked this show.
Just trying.
Jack and
running.
Iron.
You just run until you can't. So you're not nervous anymore.
Oh, listen, man. I'm so glad you came in. The show is amazing. Check it out, Animal Control. It's coming back after the strike. You can watch all the episodes now, I believe, on Hulu.
Yeah, all episodes on Hulu.
All episodes are on Hulu, so go check it out. The cast is amazing. You're amazing on the show.
Thank you.
You're killing it. What do you get to plug? What else you get to plug?
When is this going to come out?
It's coming out, I think.
It'll be in a few weeks.
Couple weeks, yeah.
Okay, nothing.
Well, are we live right now? No.
No.
Okay, whatever. Sorry.
Yeah. Just watch that show.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be... No, that's it.
What's your website?
Oh, MichaelRoland.com or MikeRoland.com.
And what's your Instagram?
MichaelRoland_O.
Go follow him. Make sure you follow him. Hilarious comedian, great actor, awesome show. Check it out. Support him. Hit him up and go to robertkellylive.com for all my dates. I'm going to be all over the place. I'm in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire, Laconia, New Hampshire, Rutherford, New Jersey, Las Vegas for Skankfest, Rochester. I'm going to be, of course, going up to the Tiny House this summer, but I got all these shows happening. And every day on The Bonfire, Monday through Thursday, with me and my friend Big J. Oakerson, comicwearables.com for all the YKWD gear. You use code word Ladybugs, and you get 20% off everything. Make sure you check that out. And guys, what do you got?
My social media is Max Marcus Comedy.
Jokes Russell on Instagram and The Cheese Show on YouTube.
And make sure you check out Danny. I don't know his thing. Danny, what's his name? Danny Braff?
Yeah, Danny Braff. I don't know his social.
Nice.
Braff.
Good plug. And at Mike V. Suarez, we got the three tizzies and we got the fucking Mexican mush. So check them out. You guys are the best fans in the world. We'll see you guys next time on the You Know What Dude podcast. Later.
Been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.